97.1 FM, 1400 KSPT, and 1450 KBFI.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show devoted to those who have had the courage and taken the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lissa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. I've been doing this show for many years now, and I can honestly say I don't have a set reason for why I ask someone to be on my show. They could be previous clients that have a great story to tell. They could be someone who's got a newfound passion and they're super excited and can't wait to tell the whole world about it. Or they could be like my guests today, who have this sense of passion and commitment and peace, and it just kind of overflows into all other aspects of their lives. And I believe that is exactly what happens when we're doing work that we're meant to do. And it's part of one of my goals is to get to see that with my clients. So that's my motivation for why I choose to have who I have on my show. My guests today are Eric and Nicole Rust, and Eric is the pastor at Cedar Hills Church in Sandpoint, and Nicole is his wife. And I want to be really clear about something. I believe we all get to choose our faith, if we choose to have one at all. I believe that we're all just trying to be good humans and that we get inspired to do so in many different ways. And one of the greatest gifts we can offer is doing work that enhances the lives of others. And I genuinely believe that that's exactly what Eric and Nicole are doing. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, Eric and Nicole will share with us their journey on how they got to do what it is that they're doing and where they see themselves going from here. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you remodeling or building a new home this year? Let the experts at Pro-X Home Decor Center help you. From windows and doors to flooring, cabinets, appliances, and window coverings. They're your one-stop home decor shop with hundreds of samples to choose from and take home, plus many in-stock items. They can help you get your job done quickly and painlessly. Let them help you bring your ideas to life. Pro-X Home Decor Center, serving Boundary, Bonner, and Lincoln counties. Your hometown everything store.
Have you visited Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet lately? They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, and they now stock ammo and knives as well. Of course, Grunberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins and paper money, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Call 208-263-6060. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, 263-6060.
Hi, this is Shane from North Island Collision in Bonner's Ferry, here to talk to you today about aftermarket parts. Did you know that around 85% of all insurance estimates are written to include aftermarket parts on your car? Many of these parts are made in China. Not only do they fit poorly and offer minimal corrosion protection, but they can also void your warranty. Here at North Auto Collision, not only do we think this is wrong, but we're doing something about it. That's why we're proud to introduce our new comp program. Here's how it works. If your insurance company is only willing to pay for aftermarket parts, our comp program will cover the cost to use original manufacturer parts. If you drive a Ford, we're going to use Ford parts. If it's a Toyota, Toyota parts. You get the picture. So combined with the great quality and customer service you're already accustomed to at North Idaho Collision, our comp program is just another way we're looking out for you, this time in an unprecedented way. Some exclusions may apply, but not many. Remember, it's always your choice where you get your vehicle repaired. So tell your insurance company, I'm going to North Idaho Collision in Bonner's Ferry. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to serving you.
Being a teenager is tough. There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Idaho's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their heads?
We play!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun,
they're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Idaho High School Activities Association and the Idaho Athletic Administrators Association.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My guests today are Eric and Nicole Rust. Eric is the pastor at Cedar Hills Church in Sandpoint, and Nicole is his lovely wife. So welcome, Eric and Nicole. So happy to have you guys here today.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you. Great
excited
here.
To be here.
Yeah. So it's funny. When I was thinking about the show, it's like I met you guys 12 plus years ago when Nicole and I were playing Bunko together.
That's right.
And, you know, I mean, it was at that time that I could see then like what beautiful people you guys were, but I really didn't know that much about you, and our lives have kind of come and gone and bumped into each other along the way. And, I think it was at Easter when some friends of mine were in town visiting, and they said, you know, do you know of a church that we could go to? And it was like, boom, you guys came to mind just because, and this is how I explained it to them. I said, Eric and Nicole are the loveliest people I know.
Wow.
And you immediately came to mind. I said, so I'd never been to your church, didn't really know all that much about it, but I said, I feel like this is just a really good connection. And so my friends went, they felt the same way I did as soon as they left. And I thought that was a beautiful thing. And so it's just really important to me when I see people that are doing work in the world that, like I said, it enhances other people's life. I think that is the greatest gift we can give others and to ourselves as well. Yeah. And like I said, you guys have that kind of feeling of peace and commitment and contentment that when it spills over into the rest of your life, I think it's such a beautiful thing.
Hmm. That's awesome.
So that being said, can you kind of share with us a little bit about, like, how did this journey for you get started? What were kind of the initial, you know, inklings, and how did it evolve?
Well, when we met, we both knew we wanted to be in ministry, I guess, and our faith was a really important part of our lives. And starting a church from scratch was something we both felt strongly about. So that didn't happen for quite a few years. But when we made the decision to move back to Sandpoint and start Cedar Hills, we did that in 2001. And do you want to?
Yeah, I mean, we both grew up in families that were a part of church. Actually, my parents were pastors of a church, so I kind of grew up in it. I'm one of those unique stories that actually didn't grow up hating the church. Most of the time, you grow up in a pastor's home.
Exactly.
Sometimes, traditionally, you don't always have great views. And without a doubt, have my fair share of baggage from all that. But my mom and dad were really, really faithful, and just dad was present, you know, that's not always the case. When you throw yourself into noble work, whether it's spiritual work or any type of work, sometimes it can become excessive.
Yep.
And that's a common pattern I think a lot of us have to battle. And my dad managed that really well. And so Nicole's family, her dad was a contractor here in town, but he had such a heart for Jesus and would tell everybody he possibly could. And you couldn't really tell Bob no. He's a big guy and had a reputation for talking loud about anything, including his faith. And so it was just instilled into us. And my parents had started a church in a small town in Central California back like in the late 70s, early 80s. And it was tough. I mean, for 3 years, like groceries were left on our front porch. That's how kind of our family survived. I remember mom crying sometimes. And as a kid, you're like, why is mom crying? And dad would just, you know, kind of change the subject. But it's because there was nothing to eat that night for dinner. And an hour later, groceries would appear on the door. So we had these great examples of faithfulness that inspired us. And so for me, I think even before Nicole and I met, I just had the sense that someday maybe God would have us find a community where we could bring an expression of Jesus' church in a way that was real and authentic, just different maybe. And so we both shared that passion as we met and got to know each other. And here we are, kind of coming back to Nicole's hometown. So I rode on her coattails and came back to her stomping grounds.
Yeah, and it was really fun to come back here and do it where we had connections.
Yeah.
Some friends of mine that still lived around here were some of our first people that came to church. And we started in our living room in town with a few people and just kind of evolved from there. So,
and was there a reason that you wanted to do your own church your way? Was there like a compelling underlying something that was drawing you to do that?
A little bit. You know, I have entrepreneurial gifts. So if anybody knows Strength Finders, yes. I'm an activator. So I love to find opportunities, people.
Yep.
And hopefully, I mean this in a positive way, kind of cattle prod things. So I love to spark movement.
Sure.
And so the idea of gathering people together around something that didn't yet exist, dreaming about what could become, and then helping others find their role, and then becoming truly like, our heart is that, and we do this now even with our team that we're a part of, leading Cedar Hills, people don't serve us. It's like we're here to serve them in finding their calling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really believe that. God has gifted every single person. And so our role is really to help people discover that and then do whatever we can to remove barriers so they can use the gifts God's given them to make a difference in the lives of others. And so I think it was a way that I could harness some of that that grit.
Yep.
Entrepreneurial spirit. And so at times I have to be careful because I still want to reinvent all the time. And I have a team that I work with that sometimes says, no, Eric, you don't need to change everything. You know, so that's always a challenge. But that was really a motivator for us. Plus, we love Sandpoint. I mean, Nicole's, as she said, I mean, friends and family here. So really, in some ways, I think our vision was like, let's start a church for Nicole's high school friends. Was kind of probably the extent of what we were thinking at the time. And little did we know that God would, you know, grow it beyond that. But that was a part of it too, was just feeling like we should go there and start something that represented the values and the faith that we believed in and the expression of what we think the church ought to be.
Right.
And so, you know, in an imperfect way, I think we've done that.
And so how old were you guys when you, like you said, it kind of, you initially even had this idea. So how did that play out?
We met when we were 20. 20.
Yeah, 20.
We got married when we were 21. Actually, I wasn't even 21. And we served in youth ministry for 6 years in a different area. And then when our kids were little, we moved back here. We were 28.
28, yeah.
So, nice. Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about. I mean, I knew nothing. Right?
Like, we thought we knew it all.
Like anybody that came or joined our, we had like 40 people in our living room that were a part of our core team early on before we actually launched. And I'm like, those people were, talk about faith and confidence,
yes.
Because we were just pretty green and had a lot to learn. But I think our heart was there. And I think people sensed that. And it was, if you're looking for perfection, Cedar Hills is not your church. It wasn't then and it's not now.
Right.
But if you're looking for a sense of purpose and a significance and authenticity, then I think that's what you're going to find. And so,
yeah. And is that basically the foundation you started with when you were 28 and you guys were just, you know, just getting this whole thing coming together? Was that kind of the foundation?
It really was. Yeah. We just started meeting people. And over the course of that first winter, you know, we would meet like every other Sunday night in our house, and groups of people would have a time of just reflection and a short time of teaching. And I would kind of share some vision about the future. And then we broke into groups, and like all the people that wanted to work with kids would like go in our bedroom and like hang on our, like sit on our bed, and they would plan. And then music people would talk in the kitchen, and other people went to the loft. And then
love it.
It kind of just exploded from there. And, you know, we raised some money from some other individuals and churches that believed in us, which is humbling, and also believed in the cause. And truly it kind of started from scratch in that way.
Love it. And so you knew you both had this faith that you guys shared and that you kind of had a passion to grow into maybe having your own church someday. So there had to be like that one instance where you go like, you know what, let's just do it. Let's just take that step. Do you remember that happening?
Yeah.
How did you get those 40 people in your living room?
Well, I'm thinking about when we were visiting here before we moved here and trying to figure out where we were going to actually make this happen, and we were at the city beach, you specifically, Eric, and just felt so strongly like there's so many great churches in Sandpoint, which I love,
right.
But there was like something in us that wanted to do something a little bit different outside of the normal box, I guess, what people were used to. So that was pretty much the weekend, and I don't know if you have anything to add to that. But
yeah, that was it. I actually remember that day pretty vividly. There was some students that were skating, probably 20-year-olds, maybe 18-year-olds.
And we're older than that.
I know. Yeah, we were probably 27 at the time. And because we worked with students, I had an affinity with that right away. And I just had this sense of, like, I wonder if anybody's doing something for, like, spiritually for people and kids like this.
Right.
And I literally heard somebody say, like, why don't you? And I think I even said to Nicole and our friend, I was like, what? And they're like, we didn't say anything. And I'm like, oh, no. And I kind of had the sense that that was really the beginning of it. And it just, yeah, the sense of like, let's reach the people in Sandpoint that were kind of the people we had been reaching.
Right.
And again, I wish I could say we had this incredible vision of all that it would someday maybe become.
Right.
But it was truly like that was enough for us. And then we finally just decided, let's pay off some debt. And so we paid off some student loans and our house, we had to sell our house actually and kind of finish that. But once we were debt free, we're like, let's do this. And that was, I remember the day that we kind of just hugged and said, and we're doing it. And 5 months later we were here. So,
wow, that's awesome. And then, so where did you progress from having these meetings at your house? How did that, what was the next step from there?
You want me to jump in?
Yeah, go for it.
We started to outgrow the house pretty quick.
Nice.
And we knew at some point soon we'd be kind of launching publicly and extending the invite broadly to anybody and everybody who wanted to come. So in desperation, I couldn't find anywhere to meet. Actually, at the time, we wanted to meet at the City Forum, which is the building behind McDuff's Beer Hall.
Oh, okay.
And it was called the City Forum at the time. And I was convinced that was going to be our location, but it wouldn't work. It just wasn't coming together. And in desperation, I told Nicole one day, I'm going on a drive and I'm not coming back until I find somewhere we can meet. And I found myself out in Kootenai over by Coldwater Creek at the time, you know, where Lighthouse is now, and drove down the road, saw a sign that said space for lease. And there was these blue warehouses and pulled in and the owners were there. We struck up a conversation and before you knew it, we signed a lease. Little did they know we had no money.
We had some support.
It wasn't a lot, but we signed it and that became our first home. And it's actually the same building we're in today. We ended up, we remodeled a small portion of it and then, had to remodel it again about 18 months later. And then we ended up in 2005, I think, buying the building and the 4 acres it sits on.
Nice.
And then we have just sort of remodeled it ever since. So we've called that location home. We call it the warehouse. You know, and I'm talking this weekend about this at our gatherings, but we believe the church is people. It's not a building.
Right.
And so we just refer to it as the warehouse. And it still looks like one. We've colored it to make it look a little nicer for the neighbors. But so it's got some paint now. But it's served us really, really well over the years. And our hope is that it's truly just a base. It's not like even a home is almost not the right word, but the church is we're called to go and be, to serve and to be out in the community.
Right.
And so we gather together in one location sometimes. We do it weekly. But really that's not when we're home. It's like when we come together to be encouraged, to be inspired so we can go and be the people God's called us to be.
Yep.
So that's our heart. Our hope and prayer is that we'll have more locations down the road and other zip codes in Bonner County and across the northern Idaho and in the northwest area that we can just keep sharing and loving people through.
Yeah. Well, and before at the other break, we were talking a little bit about how COVID's kind of played a role in that, but we need to get to break again. But when we come back, I'd love to just kind of pick up where we left off on that and see how that might influence people coming to see you in different ways.
Cool.
Anyways,
great.
So we're going to go to break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are two types of people in this world. Those that don't know if it's pronounced frap or frappe, and those that get smoothies. Every day at McDonald's, a small McCafe drink is just $2. Choose from strawberry banana smoothies, caramel frappes, iced mochas, iced macchiatos, and more. You don't need to know how to say them. You just need to know how to drink them. Price and participation may vary. Mobile order and pay at participating McDonald's.
You got her?
Yeah, I got her.
I'll get McDonald's.
Oh, that is music to my ears.
It's the you get the baby, I'll get the breakfast meal. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's. Every day on the buy one, get one for a dollar menu, you can mix and match breakfast staples like a sausage McMuffin, chicken McGriddles, sausage burrito, McChicken biscuit, and hash browns. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
How do you protect yourself from the new forms of the coronavirus? Here you go. Got a mask that fits good and snug? Perfect. Now, give your neighbors at least 6 feet of space and avoid crowds, because all that stuff still works too. Look, I'll definitely get my vaccine when it's my turn, but now isn't the time to let your guard or your mask down.
We can do this. Learn more at cdc.gov/coronavirus. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, this is Brian Ivey, service manager at Pierce Auto Center in beautiful Sagal, Idaho. Chrysler announced buy three, get one for a dollar on select tire brands through the end of April. Call our parts team for more information. We are also offering front end alignments starting at $59.95 and AC services starting at $99.95 plus Freon. Our master certified technicians are trained to work on all makes and models, including Subaru and Toyota. Please call today to schedule your appointment. Pierce Auto Center.
You already know that Sweet Lou's is the place to dine and watch sports. It's also a great place to work, and both Sweet Lou's locations are now hiring for the summer season ahead. There's openings for cooks, prep cooks, servers, and bussers. Health and dental benefits are available. Apply online today at sweetlouisidaho.com. Located on Front Avenue in Coeur d'Alene and Highway 95 in Ponderay. Now's the time to secure your summer employment. Apply online for either location by going to sweetlouisidaho.com.
Hi, this is Darcy Smith from the Bonner County Fairgrounds. Grad night preparations are in place for the Sandpoint High School graduating class of 2021, but we need your help. Unfortunately, our traditional fundraising for this great event did not happen, but we can still make this a very memorable evening. You can help with monetary or prize donations. Contact me at the fairgrounds or by email at darcy.smith@bonnercountyid.gov. Help us make grad night memorable for this special class.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lissa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My guests today are Eric and Nicole Rust, and Eric is the pastor at Cedar Hills, and Nicole is his wife. And before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about their facility, which is out in Ponderay, and you know, it's just kind of curious, as with so many other businesses and organizations experiencing the whole shutdown with COVID and everything, how has that changed how you are serving others? And, you know, have you found any benefits in that? Because, you know, I think that slowly but surely there will be some more benefits down the road that we'll discover. But I'm always kind of curious to find out, like, how did that affect your ability to, you know, reach your people?
It changed everything almost overnight, right? Yeah. I mean, like last March, we all kind of felt this tidal wave coming, and it suddenly hit so much faster than we thought. So fortunately, we had been in the process of trying to launch what we call an online campus, basically a campus that was not a physical location that you could be a part of and participate in from anywhere at any time. And so we had been putting some infrastructure in place for about 8 months, and we had actually soft launched it in October. So we were about 5 months in, and we were just kind of working the kinks out and getting it working. And then one day in a meeting, I think I kind of was discussing with our team and just said, I think by next week we're going to have to be online. And the next day it all changed. And we literally that weekend had to move everything online. So for at least us in Idaho, I think it was, 8 weeks or so that we were 100% online. And then the state allowed churches to begin opening back up. Right. But that 8 weeks taught us a ton, and it's hard. I mean, the church is, by its very definition, community.
Yep.
We are people. And so to do that when you're not physically together was a brand new experience. And so I think it forced a lot of us to think through. I know it did me, like, What is most important? How do you foster community when you can't see each other? And then it also challenges some assumptions about what community is and what belonging looks like. I mean, you have to be together to belong. And there's a lot of us are involved in different things that we never physically go to, but it's an important part of our lives. And so I think maybe the church, kind of capital C church, not ours, but churches all across really the world at the time, and definitely in America, were forced to face some of those realities and learn how to be nimble. So we've done that. We're back having regular gatherings in person now. We've been doing that for a while, and they're really gathering a lot of steam. It's cool to see every week people are kind of returning now. I think people feel more comfortable. Those who wanted vaccines have them. But we still have a really, really strong online presence. And I think this weekend we probably had somewhere around, I think, almost 300 people that were participating online. It's staying. For us, it wasn't something we used to get through the pandemic. Sure. It was something we plan on using permanently already. Right. And our plan is to continue doing that for at least a foreseeable future.
Yeah. I would imagine people, I think everybody's so happy to be in proximity with others that there's that. But I think that there will also be those times when, you know, it's just more convenient to be able to stay in the comfort of your home. Yep. You can even just sit with your family and participate. Right. Did you come up with some really like different innovative ideas that you're really kind of happy that you were somewhat forced to embark upon?
One of the things that was really big for us is we found some really cool software and platforms that we could use that allow for people not just to watch, but to participate. I mean, it's like watching a sports event versus participating in a sports event. It's very different. And, and the idea of church ought to be participation minded. Don't come, it's not like come and watch, but it's like come and be a part of. So, we use a platform for our online experience that people can, engage via chatting and other things and have conversations. So that's an important part, trying to learn how to just even talk to the camera, which is hard to do when you've got a room full of people that you're speaking to, but you're also wanting to engage.
That's a good point.
The camera. And we also tried to now provide, like, how can we provide small group options for people that, that attend the building, you know, and some of them live out of state. You know, we have people in multiple states that are part of our gatherings, family members who participate and they have something that they can share in common with their family who live here in town. So how
really
do we engage
nice.
Them? How do we help them understand what it means to belong and to grow? So we're still trying to figure that out. You know, in many ways people want that, but it's harder to sustain long-term.
Right.
We've seen that to be the case for sure.
And so did you find that you actually, did you pick up members throughout the whole COVID experience just because of, for whatever reasons along the way?
Without a doubt.
Good.
You know, and Sandpoint's changed a ton, right, in the last 14 months.
And so, it's not done yet.
So we've seen a ton of that. We hosted an event at our house for kind of a new people hangout we did a couple weeks ago. And I think we had like 11 families that came that were pretty new, you know, just in the last couple of months, many of whom are new to town. So on one hand, yes. On the other, and there's quite a bit of writing on this, just the church in America, COVID did bring some lasting change. I mean, there's talk about how a lot of people were sort of on the fence with organized religion before, and COVID became kind of the straw that pushed them, and they don't really plan on coming back. You know, that's a bummer. And I think we work really, really hard to try to figure out how we can help people see that while there's something structured to the church, we're not organized in our religion. Hopefully we're a little bit organized. We don't want to be disorganized. but it's not about religion. It's about relationship. And that's relationship, of course, with God through Christ, but also with each other. And that, I think, is something that all of us crave to some extent, is that relationship with each other and some significant spiritual understanding and relationship that transcends ourselves. You know, we would obviously associate that with God through his son, Jesus Christ. But others might take it other directions. But I think that proves to some extent there's this longing inside of all of us. And we believe that when the church is working right, that's what we do, is we help people experience that in a real and profound way.
And I would think that going through COVID, there would have been a lot of people that would perhaps opened up to that a little bit more.
Yes.
Because so many of the other opportunities to connect and you know, be with people in meaningful ways kind of got taken away. So to kind of have that more of a spiritual base, I would think would draw people closer.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So, well, it's just really interesting because, you guys, you trailblazers for sure. And I love that, you know, you got through that part and things are moving forward from there. So That's great. And when I was looking at your website, I saw that you do have a lot of different groups and programs to kind of meet the needs of all ages and interests. So do you want to share with us a little bit about what you guys offer?
Well, sure. I'll do some talking. I know. It's just, I'm not as involved in the logistics these days as I was in the beginning. So I feel like you have more details, but we have things going on for all ages from birth through sixth grade on Sunday mornings. They have classes, and then on Thursday nights we have our middle school and high school ages that meet. I think right now there's about 70 students involved.
Nice.
There, and that's just going amazing. And then there's also some groups on Thursday nights for different topics. We did one recently called Love and Logic. It's a parenting resource for people, nice. A six-week course. And what are the other ones that are going on right now?
There's some marriage classes and some classes on dealing with betrayal and, you know, surviving relationships that have been broken because of sexual abuse or affairs, infidelity.
Sure.
And so a lot of it in our community is a matter of like when someone feels a real desire to say, you know what, I've been through this tough experience or I've been through this positive experience and I want to help others. Back to my previous point, our role is how can we come alongside and help you? And so we've got a couple of gals that started a group called Betrayal and Beyond for those that were victims of a sexual affair in their relationship and helping them heal. And now they're bringing their past and their pain, and they're using it as a tool to help others. That is redemption. That's the heart of what I think the message of Christ ought to be, is we can see Christ take our pain and suffering and turn it into something beautiful.
Right. And are they just kind of creating that based on their experience and what they feel like they needed to heal, or how are they kind of?
Sometimes in that particular situation, there's a great curriculum that they've been able to use, something that a couple of the facilitators had already gone through themselves when they were participants.
Nice.
And now they've become trained to be facilitators to share that message with others. And the response to that group's been profound. So we call those interest groups that we just offer that might scratch an itch at a particular time. Like, so that's big. And, you know, Thursday nights, we're all about partnering with we want to partner with families, and so that's what Thursday nights are about with our students. And then Sunday morning as well, like we've got a really alive kids ministries. It's all about like how do we come alongside a mom and dad and just help them with resources in their desire to raise their kids in a way that helps them understand who Christ is in their life, but also teaches them those basic skills like how to be kind, which we're like, way to go, keep teaching that. Our daughter needs it, you know. How to not have a fight at school and those basic, simple things.
They all need that, right?
Yeah.
As adults, we need it too, don't we?
Definitely. Well, I love that it's full spectrum and it does kind of have the whole family component. And so do you find that the kids are like kind of jumping on board? Like, yeah, we want to be a part of this because, maybe it is that less religious feel to it where there's all the have-tos, that this sounds to me to be a lot more human-based and everything that comes along with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, our daughter is a great example of that. Madeline is 7. She's a second grader, and she absolutely loves her church. And and so as parents, let alone as pastors, but even as parents, like I just can't tell you how much that means to us that she knows that there's a place where she belongs, where there's adults who care about her, and she's learning age-appropriate, truth that she can apply to her life. And for me, it's just one of the best feelings that I have to know that other families are experiencing the same thing that our family's experiencing, which is kids who want to be there,
Beautiful.
Most kids don't have to be drug.
Yeah, and, I don't know what you guys, because you already had this foundation in having faith and in knowing you wanted to move forward with that. But I think for a lot of us growing up, that religion and what we got to do to learn about that religion was not all that easy to understand, nor that pleasant.
So true.
I can
there's
guarantee
a lot there,
you.
Yeah, we should ask
really
you some questions, Lisa.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't exactly like I was jumping out of bed to go to church or religious education. So I love that.
Yeah.
that things have evolved in this way so that kids, you know, are excited to be on board with it. Because, you know, what a beautiful time for them to get the message and to be able to incorporate it in their lives, because they have challenges that start from a young age.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So to have some tools is very beneficial for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, it's time for break again. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Welcome back to the Raptors. I'm Roy, he's Stan. We're from Triple Play over in North Idaho.
Hey, I have some news. I got my new phone today.
Wouldn't that be breaking news?
Okay, funny guy. Not bad, Roy, not bad.
Seriously, how many phones have you broken at this point?
You know, 3 or 4 dozen or so.
How does one dinosaur break that many phones?
Accidentally kicking it into the wave pool, losing it in the dark on XD Dark Ride, watching it tumble into the water at mini golf, unintentionally crushing it while bowling.
I'd say I can't believe it, but I can. I totally can.
Do you have pockets? I don't either.
The Raptors are brought to you by Triple Play, where you can race go-karts, play laser tag, climb a ropes course, and splash around in Raptor Reef Indoor Water Park. Plus, it's all attached to a cozy hotel. Visit 3play.com.
I gotta show you this funny picture of my phone.
And score another for the wave pool.
How about putting a little bling in your spring? Let's make it happen at the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry. April is for winners, and we're celebrating in a big way by putting $84,000 in Plinko cash up for grabs. Qualify all month long to get your share. Weekday room rates in the Kootenai Falls Lodge start at just $59 a night, while weekend rates start at just $99. And when you need a break from winning bling, our Springs restaurant will tempt you with 4 amazing lunch and dinner specials for just $10 each. And our April spa special is out of this world. Get a scalp ritual, 30-minute massage, and our signature facial for just $119. Put some bling in your spring with a shot at $84,000 in Plinko cash. To book your Kootenai Casino getaway, call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
Have you visited Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet lately? They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, and they now stock ammo and knives as well. Of course, Grünberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins and paper money, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Call 208-263-6060. Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, 263-6060.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lisa Marquardt. My guests today are Eric and Nicole Rust, and Eric is the pastor of Cedar Hills Church in Sandpoint, and Nicole is his wife who stands in and supports this journey in serving others. And we were just talking in break about all the different needs that you guys are filling with families and all the different things that come up within teenage years and the topics that, you know, sometimes as parents, we don't necessarily have the best tools or the best opportunity to discuss those things. So I think it's beautiful, you know, how you guys just kind of are letting things evolve as needs show up. And so do you want to just expand a little bit more on kind of some of the things we're talking about over break in the programs?
Yeah, I think one of our values as a church is we live out real life. So let's talk in real life.
Yeah.
And so we try hard to not dance around sensitive subjects and to talk about sensitive stuff. I don't think there's any topic that is taboo. I think it should all be on the table for us to be able to say, you know, as followers of Jesus, how might we look at this topic from a biblical perspective? What does Jesus have to say about how we ought to handle this? And man, there's so many of those topics these days that are out there. And so part of that is just trying to support families. And, you know, there's not a lot of resources out there. I mean, as moms and dads ourselves, we can say this, like, who do you turn to for guidance on certain topics? Yep. You know, whether it's, you know, sexual issues that kids might face you know, early drinking or bullying. I mean, the schools do a great job providing a lot of resources, but sometimes parents just don't know how to have those conversations. Right. And so we do our best to come alongside of parents. We think that we think the family is the best place for kids to discover those things, not the church. But if we can be a partner in that and support mom and dad or grandma and grandpa or any guardians that are involved, man, I feel like, again, we've come alongside and been a resource, which is one of our goals, especially for our under 18 aged ministries.
Right. Well, and you know, when we were also talking about how, you know, everybody's on that treadmill, you know, the kids have school, they've got sports, they've got, some of them have jobs and, you know, parents, the same thing. Everybody's kind of, there's a lot going on. And so the opportunity to have resources at hand is not necessarily that easily accessible. And which resources do you trust too? You know, so that's the other thing. So I think that that's another beautiful thing that you guys are bringing to the table in the work that you do.
That's cool. Thank you.
Yeah. And so do you, like, does that just kind of morph on its own? Like, people show up and go, hey, this is what's going on. Or do you guys just try to kind of have a list of topics that you want to kind of go through? Or how does that play out for you?
I don't know, you can add to this, but I think they just, they come up as needs arise, then it's like, okay, how can we get behind this? We don't want to be creating things that people aren't really interested in. And just wasting time. So definitely the things that people are facing are the things that we want to come alongside and help out with.
Right. Yeah. Because if something shows up that's a real need for a family and you guys are busy talking about something that's not a need, well, that's confusing too.
Yeah.
So, So that's another one of the beauties of having, you know, kind of a small, more intimate family community feeling church, which I think is lovely.
Also important for us to stay connected and involved in the community to actually know and hear what's going on and not seclude ourselves as a church.
True.
We really need to be a part of the community, and we try real hard to do that.
I think the best teachers, the best leaders are good listeners.
Yeah.
And you know that in life coaching.
Oh, sure.
You don't know where a session is going to go until you spend some time with your client, you know, talking about their life and what they need. So I think even like with our kids' ministries, they really do their best, our leaders there and teachers, to understand what our kids talking about. What are they facing? You know, what are current trends? What are parents talking about? We try to listen to our friends and people that are involved in our local schools who can help.
Right.
Same with our student ministry. Even when it comes to like what we teach in our main gatherings, you know, that's something that I'm primarily responsible for, kind of setting that direction and the teaching schedule. And so part of that is like what's happening in our world. And so in the last 8 to 10 months, we've made some last minute changes a couple of times because the volatility of like where we were as a nation and even in this local area back in like November, October last year, with everything kind of at a fever pitch, it was like, how do we speak into this? And how do we discover how to be a people of peace during a very, what feels like unpeaceful time? And so I think we always have to have kind of one ear to the track or, you know, whether it's the news feed or just the conversations people are having around us.
Very
and then say, so how do we speak into that wisdom that transcends ourselves or our time? And that's what we find in the scriptures.
Love that. And to just be fluid is, it's such a gift to give. I love that.
Yeah.
And, another thing that kind of brings to mind is, when I was looking at your website, it says no perfect people allowed. I love that. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you know, everybody is welcome at Cedar Hills. Everybody, yes. Unless you're perfect. If you're perfect, we say, please don't come because you'll screw the whole thing up for the rest of us. And so of course, we use that as a joke because there are no perfect people. So
I love it.
We're actually, I've been teaching a four-week series called No Perfect People Allowed. And
nice.
Just this whole idea of, if you know, we have this idea that the church is for perfect people, people who have their act together, who don't have baggage, you know, and that's just not the case.
Nope.
I mean, I love Cedar Hills Church, but we're just a bunch of screw ups and that's okay. Cause we're leading
too.
The way and we're, you know, we've got our own issues.
Well, I mean, speak Nicole for yourself.
That's true. I have my own issues. Nicole is close to perfect. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's a message, honestly, that, I think the world needs to hear. And yep. I mean, if I can just shamelessly kind of plug that for a minute.
Absolutely.
If people want to get a heart for what we believe about what the church ought to be, this series we're in is a great thing to listen to. If you go to our website, cedarhillschurch.com, there's a link that says media, and you can catch all of our past teachings are usually about 30 minutes long, or the entire gathering from the past is there too, if people want to watch that.
Nice.
But all of our talks, and if you just listen to the last three, going back to early, the week after Easter, so like, what would that be, the 12th of April? April 12th is when the series started. I think people have loved the series. It's been responded to better than probably any series we've taught in a long, long time, because I think it's what this world's longing for.
Yes.
A church that's just real in its brokenness and accepts people as they are. I mean, God accepts us as is.
Yep.
And so we have to learn to accept each other in that way. And that doesn't mean we don't challenge each other to grow. I mean, I think you care enough about me to want me to become more than I am today.
Right.
And I want the same for you. So I'm going to accept you for who you are, but I'm going to encourage you to grow, and hopefully you're going to encourage me to do the same. And when we get that right, that's, I think, what God wanted his church to be in the first place.
Love that. So, you know, like in being a career and life coach, the people that find their way to me are people that they're tired of being stuck in the work that they're doing or the relationship they have. And a lot of times, once the can gets open, there's all sorts of things that come out of that. So out of curiosity, is there a typical characteristic or something that you feel draws people to your church in particular? Is there something you see more than others?
I think we have a lot of focus on the younger generation. And so, that's one thing that I hear all the time, is that there's a place where my kids are loved, accepted, welcomed by other loving adults and kids. And so I think kids love it and their parents love it because of that. So that's one thing. The other is really what we just spoke to. We have a come as you are culture. And so in this idea of authenticity, and if anybody knows Nicole and I, like we do model authenticity. We get a lot wrong in our lives, but one thing we get right is authenticity. We're just real. And when we had dinner together, you know, on Easter, we're just the same people then as you're going to meet on Sunday. And so I think that resonates with people, this idea that we don't have to pretend, there's no pretense. And Cedar Hills is a place where they can discover that God is honestly closer than people think he is. He's not as far away as they think.
Right.
And if we can just see him in a fresh way and kind of get the religious stuff out of the way, look beyond that to the beauty of who God really is, I think that that's something that inspires people. And so I find that that probably draws people more than anything. And that's why we love to do what we do, like to help people discover that Jesus is really, he's closer than they think he is. And he's accessible to them in a real way there's nothing else right now that we feel like we should give our time and lives to.
Love that. And you don't have to be perfect to get there.
Thank God for that.
Yeah exactly. So it's almost time to wrap up already. And so how would you suggest people either get questions asked if that's what they need, or if they just want to simply come to Cedar Hills, is that okay too? What do you suggest?
Yeah, you can always go to the website at cedarhillschurch.com. You can come on a Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 currently, and go online as well at those times.
And if you want to come, just come as you are. Yeah. There's no, don't have to call in advance, no reservations required, no special dress. You'll be made to feel welcome. We've got coffee, it's low stress, and I think you'll get a picture of what the Christ-following life looks like and a group of people that are doing their best to follow him.
Great. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Lisa.
That's our show for today.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening in. Join me for my next show on May 24th. In the meantime, remember, now is your life. Get out there and really live it.
K246CU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint, a Blue Sky Broadcasting radio station.